Praise the Lord for these two messages this morning. And I want to thank you for this week. Thank you for your presence. Thank you who've all provided food and all that's been done. Thank you so very much. Thank you for, again, the being considered as a missionary that you would support. Regardless of what you may hear, I'm not retired. I do need a retread job. You young people don't know what retread is because I don't guess you retread tires anymore, but you used to. It's a whole lot cheaper. I need a retread job, but I haven't retired. It's by the mercy of the Lord, His strength, and your prayers. Prayers of God's people that make it possible. I still have to stand on the sidelines and pinch myself to see if it's real. All that God does. Not only the time that He gives me on the foreign field, but that which He provides and allows me to have a part in providing, especially printed material, great quantities of gospel tracts and Gospels of John, New Testaments, Bibles, Bible correspondence courses, and other study material. Wednesday, a week ago, a container, 20-foot container, with almost 30,000 pounds was unloaded in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, for Nicaragua and Honduras and El Salvador. This past Thursday, a container with a little over 40,000 pounds, 10 million tracts, was loaded out of Ohio. Amen. That we were responsible for. The cost, the shipping, and all to the country of Colombia, a country of 42 million people, where most of the missionaries have left, and the violence is absolutely unreal. But God has called a man who left Colombia, went to Panama, and got saved. I saw him surrender preach in a pastor's conference. And a couple of years later, I saw God call him to go back to Colombia. And he's ready to give his life. And he arrived there March the 2nd. And then the Lord put together another man. Brother Bruce Moore, who had the privilege of training for a couple of years. And now he's going to be his partner, William Ayas' partner in Colombia. And so the Lord supplied, and shortly after he got there, the Lord supplied this container. And then I was quite frustrated Friday because a man hauled a 1,850,000 pieces of literature to our warehouse in Belton to go to southern Mexico. And it so happened that all of our people were out of pocket and there was nobody to help him. And he had to unload 185 40-pound boxes, 10,000 gospel tracts to a box by himself at our warehouse. But praise God for all the printing ministries and all of those who are involved today that make it possible. And in God's people, seldom is it made public or plea made. The container to Central America of the day ran $3,200 for shipping. This one to Thursday went out to Colombia, some $3,700. And God supplies, and God supplies, and God supplies every single time. I want you to know He can be trusted.
Amen.
We need your prayers. Be back with our little group tonight in Belton, Texas, and then Wednesday and Thursday, taking part in a missions conference at our sponsoring church, and then I start next Sunday in Larimore, North Dakota, and then from there to Grand Forks, North Dakota, and then starting the following Wednesday, Sunday to Tuesday, and then Wednesday to Sunday, and then following that in Fargo, North Dakota. And I usually drive when I'm here in the States, so we need your prayers. And I need a retread job. And we need the presence of the Lord just now. Let's bow our heads together. And Brother Joshua West, would you commit this service and this time to the Lord right now?
Lord, just we do want to thank you for this day. Father, you do want to just lift up Lord, enough, Lord. Just, Lord, just give him the right word to speak to us, Lord. Give us, Lord, to open our hearts, Lord, that we might receive the words that we have prepared for him. So help us to just trust you with all of our life. We thank you so much, Lord, for the Lord. May you bless him and travel as he leads us today. Father, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Begin this morning with me in two passages in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 17, verse 18, our Lord's prayer of intercession in the Garden of Gethsemane. And notice what he says to his Father in John chapter 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And he was talking about those that God had given him. Someone mentioned this week that the word missionary is not found in the New Testament, but we see the principle. We see the sent ones that are mentioned. And if you know Christ as your personal Savior today, you happen to be a sent one. He didn't take you home when he saved you. He left you here. And for a reason and a purpose. And each one of us this morning are sent ones to this world. And then after his resurrection, and in the appearance to his disciples in that room, that upper room, in John chapter 20 and verse 21. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So we have two passages of Scripture that that give proof to the fact that we are sent ones today. Now there are other terms that we could find in the Bible. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are preachers of the gospel, every single one of us, in the sense of a message to proclaim. We are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ in every sense of the word. Let's consider this morning, consider some ways, some things involved with the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some parallels there for us. First of all, our Lord was sent to a world he didn't belong to. Now, he'd created the world, but he didn't belong to the world. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, it says he came, verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. And then he says in verse 11, he came unto the Jews. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own city, the city of Nazareth. He could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. They did not receive him. His own brothers and sisters. I mean, his half-brothers and sisters. Joseph and Mary, Joseph did not know Mary until after the Lord was born. And then they had normal relations. And they had children. And these brothers and sisters did not accept and did not believe during his earthly ministry. The religious crowd, the religious leaders of the Jews in his day did not recognize or receive him as well. Now, who do we think we are today if we expect the world to receive us. In John chapter 17, and in verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Don't you think it's time we realize that we're just passing through? I mean, we're just pilgrims. Let's don't get our stakes down so deep. Let's go, don't get to roots down here. Friend, we are not of this world. Our Lord was not of this world. And in the same manner, we are not of this world. There's only one thing we can expect of this world. John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He was sent to the world, but he did not belong to the world. Now we're the sent ones. But friend, we don't belong to this world. And let's realize that fact, that this world is not our home. But he was sent. He was sent in love to this world. And many passages of Scripture. You know the best known verse in the Bible, of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 8, God commendeth his love. His love was commended, his love was manifested toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was not sent to those that loved him. He was sent to the world. And that world did not love him. And look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. It's not our love that's going to help us to love this world. Our love is not strong enough. Our love is defective. But Romans 5 and 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. It's his love shed abroad in our hearts. It's his love that now constrains us. Hey, we were made alive. But now we're to consider ourselves as dead people to ourselves and live for him and unto him. He was sent to love the world. Now he sent us as well to manifest the love of God to this world. Then there was something else. Our Lord was sent to manifest the Father. He was sent to reveal the character of God the Father, that of Almighty Jehovah God, he was to reveal his character. Our Lord said in John chapter 17 in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. He came to manifest, to reveal, let them see the Father. That was his purpose. That's brought out in many, many verses. We'll not look at all of them, but let's look at several. Let's look in John chapter 10 and in verse 30. John chapter 10 and verse 30. He said, I and my Father are one. In verse 38, but if I do, and he's speaking about the works of his Father, though ye believe me not, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. He came to manifest the Father, to let the world see and understand the character, the attributes, the holiness, the greatness of God the Father. And that's why you and I have been left around, friend. We've been left around so that we, as we grow, as we understand something of the Father, that we might reveal, we might manifest to the world the character of God the Father. It's you know, it's amazing in every Bible character and in every Bible story, there is something different each time that is revealed about God the Father, so that our faith might grow. We think that from Genesis 12 to Genesis 22, you know, that Abraham went out by faith, and then his faith was tried in the sacrificing of Isaac. But if you go through from Genesis 12 to Genesis 22, you find many manners. You find the compound Hebrew names, for example. And it was no accident then that Abraham could say, God will provide. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide the sacrifice, because God had revealed himself in so many different manners. His faith had grown. His faith had been built up. And you find in each of the Bible characters, and you find in every Bible story, there is something different presented about God every time. And we pass those by. But the purpose is to build up our faith, to build up our understanding of God, so that we might reveal to the world more about the character of Almighty God. Then let's notice something else about this sent one, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17 and verse 8, we find that he declared the word unto his own. John 17 and 8, in that prayer, he said, For I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they've known that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I've kept, and none of them lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now I come to thee, these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. This passage, he begins with the fact, I've given them the words which thou gavest me. I have given them thy word. Now that happens to be our responsibility this morning. The results are not our responsibility. But our responsibility is to deliver the words of God, his word, this message, his truth, unto a world today. Now, let's notice something else about our Lord. He was equipped by his Father to do that which he was sent to do. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. There are many passages that deal with the fact of the Spirit coming by him, truth coming by him. Look in Luke chapter 4 and verses 18 and 19. As the Lord Jesus took a messianic passage from the book of Isaiah and he read it in the synagogue one day. Luke 4:18, he himself said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach his gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was empowered to do what the Father had sent him to do. Mention is made in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 as well. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Peter, in his message in the house of Cornelius, he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And I want you to know this morning that you and I, as sent ones, we also have available to us all the power that's necessary to do what he's left us here to do and what he sent us to do. The third person of the Holy Spirit, that mystery, one of those mysteries of the Old Testament, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, not only the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, but the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God is available, is absolutely necessary if you and I are going to do what he sent us to do. No question about it. It cannot be done in any other manner. Then let's notice something else about what our Lord was sent to do as the sent one of God, the sent one from heaven. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he was sent to give his life. He was sent to give his life. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And passage after passage after passage in the New Testament repeats and confirms that fact. He said in John chapter 15 and verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And he spoke there throughout all that context of Scripture. And time after time, in Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 4, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." He was sent to give his life for this world. And you and I are the sent ones to this world. And we must give our lives. That's inseparable with the fact of being sent ones of the Lord. In Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 8. "Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." He says in 1 Corinthians 6, we're not our own anymore. We don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought with a price. Now we're his. And that purpose is that we may no longer live for ourselves. 2 Corinthians rose again. See, if you're living for yourself today, if you're living for anything else but the Lord, you cannot be a sent one to this world. You can't serve two. You can't have a foot in one place and another. As Brother Bill brought out this morning, hey, it's all or none. He's Lord. He's Lord. He has to be Lord. I mean, maybe if you just considered him a fire escape from hell and that's all. Do you know that's about as selfish as you can get? You know, to just want, and I want you to know, you're probably deceived. You were not considering the glory of God at all. The glory of God has to be considered in salvation. It brings great glory to him. He's Lord. He's Lord. And He has to be Lord. He's Lord and Savior. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We're sent ones. That's all we can do. See, our Lord was a sent one. And in John 17, then He said, I've sent them into the world. And then He said, as He appeared, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Whether you like it or not. If you know the Lord today as your personal Savior, you're a missionary. But you've been sent to a world that you don't belong to. You've been sent to a world that you can't love, but He can love through. The love of Christ is to constrain us. He was sent to reveal the character of His Father. And we're left here to reveal the character of Almighty Jehovah God, the Creator of this universe. He was sent to manifest, to reveal, to declare the Word of God. We're sent to declare His Word today. He was empowered to do what the Father had sent Him to do. And He's made available to us everything that's necessary to do that which He's left us here to do. And He was sent to give His life a ransom. Friend, He gave His life. He paid the price. He paid for all of it. It's all taken care of. All you have to do today is take as a gift that life, that gift. The penalty has been paid. I mean, why let it go? I mean, you know, kind of crazy to let somebody pay for something and then not take what's already been paid for, you know?
Right.
It's already been paid for. The debt's already been paid.
Amen.
You can take it this morning. But then, as He was sent to give His life, then we must give our lives as well. May we bow our heads together. Every head bowed, every eye closed.